Hey everybody, it's Katie, and you're listening to How to Play with Your Kids and What to Expect. It's Katie. Hey, what's up? I've been thinking a lot about my last episode, if you listened to it, with Lenora Edwards about better speech and all of the things that I've learned, and I'm really excited to dive in today and talk to you about it. So let's get started. Okay, so... While I was talking to Lenora before the podcast recording, I told her about how important expert help was in making sure that my little one, Magnus, got the best possible head start in life. And it was because of expert advice, and it was because of something like this. And so I kind of wanted to dive more into what I mean by that. So Hank is my first baby, and so, of course, I just thought, like, I have to protect him. I have to keep him all to myself, and I can't let him out of my sight for a second, and I need to be in control of, like, every single one of his thoughts, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't think I need to explain to anyone what first baby feels like, but anyway, so I kept him all to myself, and he did not go to school until it was absolutely necessary in kindergarten. And that's fine. It worked out fine. Obviously not so fine because we had parent-teacher conferences recently, but we'll come back to that. So I kept him home. I thought I could do everything. I thought I could teach him everything. We did science experiments. We did outside nature activities. I mean, we did tons of stuff. We went to museums. We had play dates. I did all of the things that I thought you were supposed to do. And that is great. That is fine. Now, with Magnus, he had a special need that popped up. And I, through professional means, through taking him to the doctor, and then the doctor referred me to a county program, and then through those people, that it is because of those people, it is because of those services, and it is because of that information that I received from those services that Magnus was able to start school with his peers. And that doesn't sound like it's anything special, because I literally held Hank back in life till the very last possible second of letting go of him. And I did not let have, and I did not allow anyone in my life to have, including his father, for sure, to have say in his development, in his growth, and his behavior, in literally any fucking thing, like anything. That's my baby, okay? So the difference between the two is not great as far as love, attention, dedication. There wasn't much difference there, but there's a massive difference in my willingness to get help, to listen to help, to implement that help, and have an outside ruler and kind of guard and parameter guiding me through it. And so exactly what I mean by that is we actually had to do our services during COVID, which means that once a month or a week, or I don't even remember. I think maybe it was once every 2 weeks in the beginning, and then slowly as they get older, whatever, you can, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to talk about it. But anyway, so we had to do virtual conferences, which means that Katie had to do what Better Speech is offering. And it was a similar thing, but a different kind of thing, in that I had to get on the computer and talk to the other adults, and the other adults would tell me how I could get him to do this movement, or how I could get him to start jumping over things, or how I could get him to start standing on the stairs instead of crawling backwards. All of these things. Great. And this is all great information. And I'm gonna sidebar for a second and say, recently my friend told me this phrase. Well, I'm a do-it-yourself kind of girl. I don't need help. And she's right. I am also this kind of a girl. We have that in common. The difference is you have to be willing to listen to what other people are saying and implement that change in your life. And if you're not interacting on a regular basis with someone who's a professional in that way, you're not getting the best information. You're getting the best information that you have found. You are getting the best information that you can muster up. You are getting whatever. And there's so many different ways that you could argue against what I'm saying. I can even think of several, but that's not my point. My point is there are certain things you need an expert for. And here's why. During COVID, I had those meetings, and knowing that I was going to have a meeting with a professional in the field who was going to ask me, did you implement these things we talked about to help your child? And how did it go? And if I didn't have that pulling me through, I for sure would have dropped the ball. And there's no doubt in my mind, because every single time I saw on the calendar coming up that I had this meeting with someone who's a professional in the development field for children with these delays, so literally the fucking professional with the information, I had to keep myself legitimate. I had to be able to say to her, yes, I did do that, and here's how it went. And knowing it was coming up, seeing it on the calendar, that really lit a fire under me to do the work, to follow through. And so all of that just to say, sometimes we need another person to keep us legitimate. So while doing it yourself is, that's what us about it, girl. I'm down. But also do it yourself after you have received information from a professional in the field. For example, when I do my IEP meetings or my special needs meetings, or they're like special needs meetings, they say so many words, you guys, and they wrote them all out really boring so that it sounds like school. I swear they do it on purpose. I've complained about it to the ladies who read it, and they agree. It's so boring. So when you are reading these things, or when people are talking to you, or when you're, you know, getting this information, you don't have to do it to the absolute letter. And that's the do-it-yourself part. That's the freedom part. That's the customize it to your individual child part, in that you don't have to do exactly as she says, you know. So for example, they say, I gotta make something up now, I should have had an example ready. You know, we want to make them turn around, you know, like 7 times per day, and you have to do it while they're on their knees, and you have to blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you put some, you have to do the left side and you have to do the right side and make sure they stand up. You know, all of these were physical therapy things for Magnus's eyesight, balance, coordination, et cetera. It's all super fucking important. And I don't want to blow that off, but you don't have to do it like 7 fucking times on either side. You don't have to count, and you don't have to do it until your child is crying. Just be a jerk. And when they want candy or a muffin or their juice or whatever, put it behind their back and make them reach for it. That's good enough, guys. That's good. You did it. You implemented it. You're doing it. And that is good enough. And so that part of it, the do-it-yourself part, fuck yeah, customize it. Make that shit fit into your life. But when we try really hard to sit down with our kids and do something specific and make them do it to a specific number or a specific degree, that shit ain't gonna work. It's not gonna work. They fucking hate it. I've seen tons of people try it. I've seen professionals do it to my kids. They don't fucking like it. They get bored real quick. They don't want to. And so that's where we come in, and you can manipulate them. Make them think it's fun. Fit it into your life. Make them think that you're being like, oh, come get it. Well, it's over here now. It's not our job to be clinical technicians who, you know, put these things into action exactly as they are written down on paper. You don't have to do that. That's not your role. Nobody's grading you. And it's about fitting what's best for your child. In this case, it was developmental activities for physical development and mental fortitude and eyesight and on all different kinds of things, right, that I was doing. But whatever it is, you can have it all, but you can't have it all perfect. You can have literally a little bit of everything you want, but you're not going to have everything exactly as you need it to be. You're not going to have one thing won't be perfect. Not one fucking thing will be perfect if you decide that you want to have it all. It's just how it works, man. I didn't make the rules. In fact, I'm fucking pissed I have to follow them too. So just know that if you're struggling to implement something into your life, you can make it work for you. And I'm going to move and segue right into something else that this relates to and what I mean by that. School teacher conferences came up. And what is apparent is, pun intended, what is apparent is that Hank needs more checking from adults and structure and stability. And just like we talked about, it all goes back to it. Repetitive. Just like I said last episode with Lenora, repeating is so important. And they forget. And I feel like I had this talk with Hank, and I feel like we did this really great thing, and I feel like we grew together. But that doesn't mean Hank remembered what I said or was implementing it or that I could never check back up on that. So I was reminded of that. And we'll come back to what I did for Hank. But then Magnus's teacher conference, he needs to work on sight words. And he's kind of behind on his Spanish sight words. Bet. So here's how I worked with Hank, and here's how I worked with Magnus. Hank is in eighth. Oh my God, he better fucking not. I think he's in seventh grade. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Hank is in seventh grade. Magnus is in pre-K. So vastly different. Here's what I did. So for Hank, I had to have a talk with him, and I was like, hey, you're like kind of grounded, not like totally grounded, but here's what's going to happen. When you come home every single day, you're going to put your phone down. We're not going to do anything electronic. You and me at the table doing homeschool for 2 hours after school. He was pissed and whined about it. I don't care. Whatever. He can suck my butt. I don't care. That's what we have to do in order for him to have success, obviously, because I let him do it himself and it did not work out, which is what I said to him, but less like a dick. I'm sassy when I'm on here. So we have this nice conversation together, whatever, fine, blah. He's mad, fine, I don't care. The following day comes and we do our homework hour, and it's really or 2 hours. It's really just us sitting here quietly, him doing his homework, me on the computer writing, and Magnus coloring, right? So it was such a beautiful time. We had a candle. We had a fake fireplace up on the TV. Like, shit was lit. So at the end of it, he was like, Mom, this wasn't so bad. I kind of liked it. I was like, yeah, I totally told you it wouldn't be that bad. And he was like, yeah, I thought you were just going to sit here and like do every single thing with me. And I was like, no, baby, I trust you. It's just that you need, you know, to make sure that you set that time aside to do it. And we were kind of slacking, and I'm really bad at, you know, doing things and keeping up with it. So blah, blah, blah. Anyways, later that day, instead of getting on video games, Hank played the saxophone that I bought him for Christmas for the first time. Ah, so cute. And then he came down after playing it, and I was like, dude, you did so good. And he was so excited. And he was like, really? I was like, yeah, I love music. I love listening to you play music. And I was just like totally obsessed with him. And why did I do all this? Where did I get all these ideas? Lenora reminded me that kids need your undivided attention, and they don't get it. That's all they fucking want, and they don't get it. Hank never gets my undivided attention, hardly ever. And I just told you that when he was a baby, I was obsessed with him. I'm still pretty obsessed with him. But He needs my undivided attention. He just needs me to be there with him and be doing something. And so like when I was writing, every time he interrupted me, I let him and I let him talk because what I'm doing is not fucking important. I'm just fucking around. Actually, I'm writing this super cute book. I love it. I'm like, after my last book, y'all, I cannot wait to write more. I just want to write as many as I can. I had so much fun. Anyway, distracted. Hank got a wonderful grown-up mature time with me. He felt like we were together. I was there attending to him. I made him my priority. I set this time aside. It's been like 3 days and it's working like a charm. So please don't underestimate the power of your time. They just need your fucking time. If something is spiraling out of control, is his organization his fault? Yeah. Yeah. Is it my fault? Yes. Yes. The entire time that we were in that teacher conference, my husband had to keep his mouth closed while he looked at me and heard that teacher have every single complaint that Keith has about me. I heard it. I'm not dumb. I hear it. I see it. I know where he got it. Okay. And what? Okay. Anyways. So, but if I do it, he'll do it. If I put my undivided attention, if I sit at the table for those 2 hours and I make it a point to go nowhere and be right there, he will too. And he'll appreciate that time. So that was a small change that I could make. For as far as his grades, y'all, I don't know. I don't know. I graduated with like a fucking 2.82 GPA. I don't fucking know, y'all. We'll see. I don't fucking know. Okay. Okay. I do know that boy loves science and math. So I'm really excited about that. Okay. Now, Magnus. Totally different problem. Totally different grade. How did I implement it? Same fucking way, y'all. Same fucking way. Same fucking way. Attention to this problem. Okay. Spend time. So Magnus happens to get home like a little bit before Hank. And obviously Magnus's homework is like really fucking easy and fun and cute. And I love it. So I can jump right into that after school with him. I can be really excited. He's still really young. So everything I say is awesome. And I can make everything sound like a fun, super awesome game. So I wrote out all of his sight words on little cards. And I set up a game where he has to search through all these little letter tiles that I have that are like these cheap ones I got from like the Dollar Tree in like an alphabet game or whatever. They're awesome, but you know, whatever. They're just like, all you need is letters. So I made him fish out the letters and find the letters and then put them all together. And then when he was done, we have this little alphabet tablet and it like, you can push it and it goes, A, like that. So I made him put in all the letters so that he heard it. He had to seek them out again and he had to whatever. Fine. I'm playing games with myself, y'all, because that's fun for me. I love learning games. So not only is he seeing the letters and having to form them, he's hearing them out loud. He's putting them in order. He's blah, blah, blah. And now it's 1, 2, 3 times he's seen the word instead of one time as far as like flashcards go or whatever, because they're so boring. Anyways, during this time, I'm reading the sight words off of the card to finish up the game. And he starts slapping the words. And I'm fucking, it's irritating. And I don't like it. And I noticed myself, because I'm growing, okay? I noticed myself being irritated before I ruined this whole entire thing by saying I was irritated. What? Girl, yes. So I noticed I was irritated. And then I start thinking to myself, I literally know that physical activity with word games is the best possible choice. Like, I have set up a game before. I was going to recommend on the podcast a game we used to play where you write the words out on a card and you get a fly swatter and the kid smacks the shit out of the letter when you call it or the word, the number, whatever you're trying to learn. It's the best. It's so fun. And so I know that that's an activity that's good for his brain. Yet here I am about to jump in front of it because it's annoying. Because it's annoying. And I was about to be the thing that stopped him from learning naturally on his own the way that brains were designed to do so. And that's where I reminded myself that all they want is yell it from the rafters, your undivided attention. So, okay. So I breathe it out and I'm like, oh, but I'm scared you're gonna hit my finger, because I was. And so instead of changing the game, I got the same length of piece that he was, my tummy is growling. I got the same length of piece of toy that he had, and I pointed to the letters with that instead of my finger. Now I'm making it sound like this was like something that just like, oh my God, came to me because I'm trying to give it to you. But please don't think that. It was literally 3 times of me breathing out this annoyance of him smacking something that made me stop, take pause, take a breath, and reevaluate the situation, because it literally was like me just sitting there breathing and being annoyed for like the first 3 times. And so again, lowered expectations. Dude, lower your expectations. All they need is your undivided attention. So back to that. Is that what we were doing? Yes! And I gave it to him. And he practiced those words in the way that he wanted. He gave up after that, after like 4, and I called it a day. Because guess what? Yes, because we did a little bit, and we did a little bit, and a little bit matters, and a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit there. That makes 100%, my dudes. That's fair. That's customizing it to make it fit our lives. That makes me feel like a good mother and someone who has extra time to do other things. Not someone who spent all day arguing with my baby, which is literally how you can spend an entire day. I know, because I have spent the past several days arguing with the child. So let's segue into my next topic. I'm so excited for this too. Okay, what else did I learn from talking to Lenora? I was reminded about tone of voice. Pay attention to your tone of voice. Lower your tone of voice. I never do that. In fact, I am known for saying to my family members, I hear the bitch voice I'm saying right now, and I can't stop it. And I'm really sorry. I'm not even this fucking mad, but this is just how my voice sounds right now. And I can't reverse it, right? So I'm sorry. Bitch tone has left the fucking station, and we are full-fledged headed in a direction. So, I was reminded, actually probably taught by Lenora. I know that tone of voice matters. Obviously, everyone knows that. But I was taught by her that it really, really matters in this situation. It matters more than almost anything else. So first thing, take a deep breath, lower your voice, and fix your posture. I have been implementing this recently, and here's how it's going and what you can expect. Okay, so let's see. Couple of temper tantrums here and there that did not go well. Okay, they went better. They went better. So first time I did it, I immediately stopped what I was doing, lowered my tone of voice, and went from, okay, well, that... Magnus? Y'all, he took off his headphones, threw them on the ground, said, I'm not having this, and ran away. And that's because, yeah, I did something different. So first, you can always expect some kind of backlash, some kind of reaction, some kind of weird anything, just an explosion of any kind. So just be ready for that. Or meltdown, or maybe they'll turn up the volume on you. Maybe they'll just run away. Maybe they'll not believe you. I don't know. Whatever a person could do, there's a lot of different scenarios. In this case, he just ran away from me, whatever, and he screamed. That one probably ended I can't remember. Fine. You know, probably similar. I know I wasn't super pleased with myself, so probably just normal with him screaming until he was done screaming. And I was constantly making little comments, probably like, take a deep breath, or you need to calm down, or I don't know why. I'm just trying to please stop all of those, right? Then the next time he had a massive temper tantrum, I thought, okay, this is good. Okay. Magnus, I don't understand why, you know, same scenario, except he didn't run away this time. He just slowly had his regular temper tantrum and I slowly lost my patience and my temper in whatever kind of way. I don't even know. Rarely. Ever. In fact, I can't even, Magnus, he's so lucky. I can't even think of a time Magnus got a little spanking or any kind of pop or nothing. He's so cute. I'm much more calm. So he usually just gets kind of a bitch attitude from me. And if he gets really out of control, like I say the words, but you can definitely tell I'm impatient. Like I'll just be like, okay, well, whenever you're done, I'm here and we can talk about it. So I'm saying it, but I don't mean it. And he can tell, right? I'm irritated as shit. I'm just breathing it out. He's bothering me now. And then it usually just turns into me trying to do whatever the hell I was doing really shitty while he screams, whines, whatever, until he usually calms down and then comes and says sorry or whatever. And then we talk about it. Which, you know, compared to my first attempt at toddler tantrums or preschool tantrums or fucking children feelings, because they definitely don't stop having these massive, huge feeling explosions. We don't. But the way that I first handled it was constant shock at their behavior and then dismissal of them as people and then how they're embarrassing me. But, you know, that was how I was taught. But let's talk about something else, okay? anyways, so that's your first initial reaction is like, make this fucking shit stop. I hate it. And that's okay. That's normal. Everyone hates it. To what I do now has gotten progressively better. Obviously, it's way better, but it's still not great. it's not like everyone feels okay after, you know? So, okay. Then I started to think to myself, okay, well, I'm changing my tone and I'm changing my posture and I'm really sticking with it for a little while. But not the whole time. I definitely quit because this shit is annoying. So how can I like get through this hump? How can I get through it? Well, the answer is the same as it is for everything else, girl. Why did I miss it? It's get through it. That's how you do it. You quit quitting. So just like I had to breathe through those motherfucking contractions, you too have to breathe through this. Same. It's always the same. And I forget. And it's such an easy answer, but it's really hard not to quit. So what do I mean by that? Okay, that means yesterday, last night, when he had this massive temper tantrum and he screamed, I say massive because I'm so dramatic, y'all, but really what's happening is that he went to school and he's learning how to argue in different ways now. He's around other little kids. He comes home with phrases and words and whining or drama or exciting news, all of these different things that now he has exposure to with other children that he did not prior to whatever. Plus, he's like this old. He's learning how to manipulate people. Yeah. So, anyways, he's been so difficult. And yesterday was no exception. And he was being so whiny, like so weak and whiny and special needs. Like, it's cold in here. I need a blanket. I can't get it because my foot hurts. Like, oh my God. And it's my kryptonite. I literally want to bully people who talk like that. I want to fight you. there's something about it. And I know exactly what it is. We don't need to go into it. But it is a good time to remind you about that book, In the Power of Now, and how he talks about that's something from you. That's a problem for you. So if something triggers you inside and makes you feel super upset and you don't, and irrationally angry, you got to kind of explore that and figure out what the hell that's about, because it's hurting the people around you. So in this case, that whining made me reach, like, hurt Hank with my words, with my attitude, with my fucking constant aggression to make it stop, which is the opposite of what it needs. But whatever, whatever. So he starts doing this. This shit makes my skin crawl. It makes my teeth grind. It makes me want to, like I said, ruthlessly bully you. And I didn't. So last night it happened. I'm breathing it out. I just so happened to be just the right amount of high too. I'm not going to lie. I got some indica that had me chilling, and I had 2 dentist appointments yesterday. So I was definitely smoking like chill out weed all day. So I'm not going to lie. This is not a natural, oh, one day I just had all the fucking answers. So I'm not going to take credit for that shit. I was calm. Yesterday, way more calm than usual, okay? Plus, I had just finished the 2 dental appointments that were giving me stomach aches Monday and Tuesday, while I waited for them. So I'm calm. I am relaxed. I got no stress on me, okay? And perfect timing to implement. So this is how you manipulate. This is how you customize it into your life. Don't beat yourself up when you can't fit it in. Fucking chill. It's totally chill, dude. It doesn't matter. It's fine. Okay? Can you tell I have a middle schooler? It's fucking chill, man. It's fucking chill, dude. Just, it's okay. It's all right. That was then. This is today. This is right now. The power of now, which I do recommend the book, but it's a little cheesy through there. So you'll have to get through some parts. So just be warned. Anyway, the message is still the same, right? Right now is the perfect time. Right now, I'm high as hell. I'm chilling. I got no stress. I'm hanging out. I was fucking around on my phone. I was shopping. Oh my God, you can buy stuff at goodwill.com. Anyways, so I was shopping for weird, obscure art that I want on goodwill.com. Okay? This is not important. It's not important. Did I want to do it? You bet your sweet ass. Putting that phone down physically hurt me. I wanted to keep going. They had endless, endless possibilities. And I know that they're all unique and I just have to have it. And this part of me was obsessing over that. And like, I really didn't want to let it go. Oh my God, I forgot. The fight was over him turning his tablet off. Yes. So I forgot about that part. Yes. So I was being addicted too, is my point. So I turn to him, tell him it's time to get off his tablet. He loses his fucking shit, starts acting like a crackhead. And I am here acting the same fucking way. I don't want to put it down. So just like Hank, he needs the example and my undivided attention. Magnus needs the example and my undivided attention. And that right now is the absolute best time. Plus, I just told you I was stoned. I probably would have spent $350 on Goodwill. And then when it came in the mail, and I would have been like, what the fuck? No, I'm just kidding. I would have been like, this stuff is treasure. But I didn't need to do any of that. So Magnus starts throwing a temper tantrum. I put my phone down. I take a deep breath. I change my voice. Magnus is still acting like a crazy person. He's screaming. He's out of control. Blah, blah, blah. Did I get up and go right over there? No. Did I want to? Yes. I wanted to go fix the situation right away. But I told myself, you're not ready. Take a minute. Put your phone down. And what are we going to do in this situation? What is our plan, Katie? What is our plan? Well, undivided attention and change of tone. Okay, I can do that. So I walk over to him. Oh, an example. So I take the tablet, I pause it, I put it down. He's freaking out. He's screaming. I pick him up and I bring him to the couch and he's screaming, but he's cuddling me. So like instead, you know, if he was like aggressive and like kicking or whatever, I would recommend that you just like put them down in like a safe chair or whatever. And then you just like walk away for a little while because they just wild out. They just throw punches and kicks and like you could get a book to the face. I don't know, man. Just don't even. it's not a good idea. So if you have that child, which I have had that child, and I've seen even the best children become this child on rare occasion, put them somewhere like on the couch, on in their room, if it's carpeted, in their bed, whatever. Don't leave. So that's the next part. So usually I toss you down in a shitty way on your bed and then just leave the room in a huff. True story. That's not the best way. And that's not what I wanted to do today. So that's what I'm trying to kind of get out. And I'm holding him and I'm rocking him. Now he starts whining like, and this makes me want to bully him. I have no other, like, just the deepest, most violent aggression comes into my feeling set. I just can't even handle it. So I take deep breaths and I'm just cuddling him. And I just keep telling myself, like, he's a baby. He's a baby. Try to think about yourself outside of this situation. If you walked in the front door right now and you saw this and you saw, you know, what would you say to do to the baby, right? Like, if you saw someone else here, because that's the answer. It's easy when you do that. When you think, if I walked into my front door and I saw this situation, what would I then advise the mom? And I would advise the mom to just, it's okay. He's just upset. You know, he just didn't want to turn it off. So he's screaming. So I say to him, it's, you know, he's like, I mean, not screaming. He's whining and crying. He saw some, he was fine for like 5 seconds. He was quiet and breathing. And I had time to think this thought that I just shared with you. And he then saw, like, I don't know, something on the TV, like a picture go across or something. And he decided it was time to cry again. So then he just started crying again, like inconsolably crying, like just sobbing, kind of crying, not screaming. Anyway, so I said, is this about the tablet or is this about something else? And he was like, I just want my tablet. I just want my tablet. And I was like, I understand. It sucks so hard when we can't have what we want. It hurts. And then my awesome husband from the other room heard us and was chimed in and was like, yeah, it does. It really does, buddy. Which was super awesome and supportive. High five, Keith. Teamwork. He learned that shit from me, y'all. Hey. Okay. Anyway. So telling the boy how much it sucks. He's crying. But I think to myself, because immediately Keith was like, would a cookie help or whatever? So then I'm like thinking, okay, well, I got all these snacks or I got all these treats or whatever. What can I get to snap him out of this? And then I caught myself because that's not what you're supposed to do. You're trying again, Katie, to stop it. I want to make it stop. I hate X and I want X to stop. How can I make it stop? But that's not, you can't sometimes. And I need to learn that. So I did nothing. I did nothing. I offered no help. And I just held him and I rocked him. And every time he went, I wanted to just run away. And I wanted to scream and I wanted to throw him down because this is quite enough. This has been quite enough time. I find this to be exhausting now, sir. I'm done. And that's for real how it feels. Like, I don't fucking care. I don't, this has been too long. What the fuck? But those are time limits that you're creating. I was creating. I'm done with this. This is my limit. I'm fucking done. I decide. And that's not, it's not the right way. So I'm sitting here having all of these thoughts to my little high brain, rocking this baby back and forth, because what I think to myself doesn't fucking matter. It's okay. It's okay. You can think the worst thoughts, but guess what did matter was what I said and did out loud. And what I did and said out loud was that I sat through there this entire time, just sitting there quietly. I didn't say any fucking words. I didn't offer condolences. I didn't console him. I don't know which one. I did not console him during this time. I just hugged him, said, I love you, baby, and just rocked him back and forth. Okay. Did I think to myself, I don't want to keep, he better not fucking think this is like how he's going to get my attention because I hate kids that do that. Yeah. Yeah. So if any of you are going down that train of thought,
yeah.
Yes. Again, a selfish individual thought that I'm putting on the baby. Should I do all day? I'm not judging. I'm just saying. So I'm sitting there. This boy stops crying. He literally just stops crying after what I thought was a ridiculous amount of time. Way too long. Way too long. But I didn't pick up my phone and check it, even though I heard it vibrate and I wanted to. I didn't get distracted and turn on the TV because I decided this was too much of my time. I had promised myself and I had dedicated myself at this time to following this task all the way through, to seeing what would happen if I said nothing and did nothing and I just paid him nonstop attention. So I wrapped both of my arms around him and made sure he knew that both of my hands were on him, and I put my forehead on his forehead and rocked him. So we were there together. I was doing nothing else. It was so annoying. But I did it. And I finished it all the way through. And the boy just decided he was fine. And he got up and decided he was hungry for a snack and he wanted some of these little yogurt bites. And he got some yogurt bites. And he said he really wanted to watch his tablet. And I said, I understand. But I also want you to know that it's not healthy for our brains if when you take something away from your brain, it can't control its feelings. It loses its control and it starts crying a lot. And yes, I know I'm saying the brain here because it's really important for you not to tell your kid that it's them that's the problem. That's some shit I fucked up on. Whoops and daisy. Anyway, but so when you take it away and your brain cries like that and it's out of control, that means it's unhealthy. You and your brain have an unhealthy attachment to that thing. And it's not really a big deal and it happens, but when it does happen, we need to pay attention. So the way that you're making me feel is that maybe you can't handle the tablet. And I don't want to take your tablet away. I like my tablet. I know you like your tablet. Everybody likes their tablets. But if you can't say no to it, then I'm going to have to not let you have it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let you have your tablet right now since you're calm and happy and we just had this talk. And I'm going to let you have it for 20 minutes until it's bedtime. And when that timer goes off after 20 minutes, if you don't get off of it without crying, if you can get off of it like a healthy brain and you can tell your brain, okay, brain, we'll see tablet tomorrow instead of losing it, then I will say, okay, maybe we can have it tomorrow. But if we do the same thing, I think maybe our brain needs a break from the tablet. Y'all, he took that really well. Probably because he was too fucking tired to argue because he had just cried himself silly. But guess what? I fucking won. I won against me. And that was a big win for me. That's a big win. So I waited all the way through. And what happened? Same thing that always does. He stopped crying. We got a snack and we talked about it. Same fucking thing. But the road we took wasn't paved with my attitude or discontent towards him or selfish impatientness. You know, all of that stuff. It wasn't sprinkled with that. And when it was over, I felt so much better. So breathe through it, my friends. I really love you. I really care about you. And I want you to win because at the end of the day, I want us to all sleep like queens because it's fucking rad. And we're raising human beings here. Actual people with complicated feelings, emotions, desires, dreams, goals, all this stuff. Some of that stuff was the same stuff. Redundant. Anyway, I'm going to let you go because my recording timer is telling me that I've been chatting for too long. Let me never. Yeah. Oh, I think I got through all my notes. I love you. I love the amount of time and effort you put into raising your human beings. You're a badass Thank you for listening. If you want, I'm going to put up a poll now. They do polls on here. I've been recording some of Magnus and I's discussions, arguments, temper tantrums. If you're interested in hearing me play those and comment on those, I'm going to put a poll up. You can let me know if you're interested. Because I might play with that idea too, because I have a hard time saying exactly what it is I do. And I think that sometimes if we listen to it together, that might help. But if you hate the idea, cool. Email me, uneducatedhousewife@gmail.com. If you want to buy any of my books, you just Google my name, Katrina with a K, Gehrke, Gehrke. I said Google because it's a damn verb, but I meant search on Amazon. My bad. Anyways, email me, text me, call me. Love you. Keep up the hard work. You guys are badasses. Bye.